Roman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. So usually when there's one line of thinking inside Titanville and there's another line of thinking outside of Titanville, chances are the thinking inside of Titanville is wrong and outside of Titanville is usually right. And I'm even guilty of getting this wrong a couple of years ago when the Titans ran it back with Henry and Tannehill and they were 1 foot in and 1 foot out and shotgun marriage of collaboration between Vrabel and Carthon, which ultimately failed, and all of that nonsense. And I thought that team could win 11, 12 games. I mean, I'm like, hey, that team was a fumble away from winning the division with Josh Dobbs at quarterback. They're not going to have the same distractions. The offensive line can't be as bad as it was last year. And everybody else was saying outside of Titanland, yeah, Titans probably going to stink. And they were right, and we were wrong, and the Titans kind of stunk. Well, inside of Titanland, Will Levis is the unquestioned quarterback of the Tennessee Titans, period. The media that covers the Titans, they're all writing articles about why the Titans need to be patient with Will Levis. What Will Levis can do to help himself with the Titans. The coach has said this season is about Will Levis. The fans say this year we got to figure out what we have, as if you don't already know. Meanwhile, outside of Titanland, a lot of people aren't sure Will Levis could be the quarterback much longer. Diana Russini in The Athletic over the weekend, quote, talked to an AFC South coach who said it's only a matter of time before Mason Rudolph takes over. Period. Blake Bedingfield at PaulKaharski.com wrote after the Titans win, and again, Blake Bedingfield is the scout who convinced the Titans to draft Derrick Henry, and Blake Bedingfield wrote, quote, the Titans have quarterback issues and will need to figure out a better plan for Levis moving forward. If Levis continues his turnovers and inconsistencies, then the Titans will have no choice but to turn to Mason Rudolph. So inside of Titanland, there is no quarterback controversy. The coach said so. Inside of Titanland, there is no debate as to why Will Levis should be benched or will be benched or if it'll come later in the year or if they'll try. Nothing. And yet, other coaches are telling Diana Russini, I mean, it's only a matter of time before they sit Will Levis down. And Blake Bedingfield, again, who lives here, Blake Bedingfield saying, I mean, if Levis isn't going to change, and by the way, maybe there's a chance Levis changes, but I think it's probably more likely than not that he doesn't change. He says, if Levis doesn't change, this isn't going to work out. And they're going to have to go to Rudolph. So, again, my spidey sense is telling me that when it comes to Levis, that if everybody outside of Titanland says eventually they're going to switch the quarterbacks, then it is likely that eventually they're going to switch the quarterbacks. Rich Gannon said that if anybody better than Mason Rudolph was there, then they'd probably be quarterback. Rich Gannon also said he thinks the coaches are probably ready to give up on Levis, though I don't know. But again, that takes me back to Titanland. Where all anybody in Titanland can say is, this year is about figuring out what Levis is, period. So when it comes to everybody outside of Titanland saying eventually the Titans are going to go to Mason Rudolph, it leads me to ask this question. Why? I don't necessarily care what Brian Callahan says. Because Will Levis is going to be his guy every single press conference and interview until he's not his guy. There's not going to be a press conference where he gets up there and says, Will's my guy, but Mason's starting this week. That doesn't exist in the NFL. But why are football people so quick to just assume that the Titans won't be willing to lose every single game this season with Levis turning the ball over like crazy? Because as I try to work through all of the scenarios and possibilities and everything else, Like, I think I'm okay with that. I think I'm going to the game on Sunday. I have tickets to go to the game on Sunday. I think I'm going to end up going. But, like, if I have to sit through the same game that I had to sit through against Green Bay, am I going to like it? No. But if all of the games are like that this season, I'm still not convinced that I'm going to want to see Mason Rudolph play quarterback. Like, what good does that do the Titans? The only point of playing Mason Rudolph is if you just want to win some games this year right now for fun. We don't live in that kind of society anymore. We used to live in that kind of society. Previous generations, there was something about playing for pride that mattered. There was something about honoring your fans and honoring your team and honoring the logo. We don't have that anymore. In college football, all the kids look at the poinsettia bowl and say, pass. So we don't have this society where it's okay to just win a couple of games for no reason. Because there's no benefit to that. If you lose every game with Will Levis turning the ball over 26 times this season, which he's on pace to throw 26 interceptions, if you lose every game with him throwing 26 interceptions, you probably get the third pick in the draft. And the value of the third pick is infinitely higher than the value of the eighth pick. So, I guess I understand why everybody in Titanland would say, Levis is our guy, because there's some hope that Will Levis can do this. There's some hope, given his size, given some of the highlights he's shown, his natural ability, that he can actually be an NFL quarterback. I don't have it, but some people do. And I can understand the idea of, well, you know, Troy Aikman wasn't great right away. And I'm okay with that. But everybody outside of Titanland is telling me, no, they're going to have to change quarterback eventually. And again, normally the people outside of Titanland are right. But in this case, I'm just not sure what good it does. Like, I'm not jonesing to see Mason Rudolph play, no matter how bad Will Levis is. Mike Vrabel's not the coach of this team anymore. The ex-player, the we play to win no matter what. So while I get why other coaches and people would think they've got to make a change, I'm not really sure the Titans believe that. Because I think that they have the mindset of, hey, if Levis ends up being this awful, we'll get the second pick and we'll do what Washington did, draft Jaden Daniels, and we'll be fine. And I can't say it's the worst line of thinking I've ever heard of. But that does seem to be where we are. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in on that. And again, I'm trying to figure out what the reason to play Mason Rudolph would be. But other than, hey, we want to win some games. We just want to win a couple of games. That's it. We just want to win some games. 615-737-1025. So the Athletic has their rankings for where these quarterbacks rank. Where Will Levis ranks after five NFL weeks. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Let's talk about Twice Daily. That's right, Twice Daily and White Bison, they are the best. And this time of the year, White Bison knows exactly what you're craving. Pumpkin. So try their pumpkin cookie frappe, their pumpkin spice latte, or their vanilla shaken espresso with pumpkin soft whip. It's irresistible. Plus, White Bison Rewards members get your eighth drink for free. While you're there, check out their sandwiches, wraps, and whatnot, all freshly prepared right when you order. I'm a big White Bison guy. I'm a big Twice Daily guy. They're the best. And for the sweet tooth, try their fresh baked pastries. They go perfectly with premium coffee, expertly prepared by the Roastmasters. White Bison and Twice Daily, finely crafted for your every day.
Does his situation kind of put you in a situation where you kind of where you were in the game, where if things aren't going well, and his shoulder could conceivably be a factor, and it gives you a easy way to turn to Mason.
No, I mean, I think if he's good to practice and good to go, then he's going to play. And that's really, unless it's affecting his ability to do his job, I don't think that there'll be any discussion on that point. Again, if it still hurts a ton and he's having trouble throwing effectively and all those things, then yeah, that's a whole different conversation. But again, we'll just see how the week of practice goes. But I feel pretty good about where he should be at.
That was Brian Callahan saying if Levis is healthy, he plays. And again, considering that today they released John Ojukwu but haven't signed another quarterback, Levis is probably fine. And Levis will play against the Colts on Sunday. So the Athletic has a quarterback ranking every week. The weekly quarterback ranking. Ian, you'll never guess who number one is.
Mahomes.
Bingo! So they kind of have a weekly stock report. Who's up, who's down, whatever. Will Levis, 31st. 31st. Tyler Huntley is 32nd. Now, they have Russell Wilson, Tua, Bryce Young, and Skylar Thompson all not ranked because of their situations. In the case of Russell and Tua, they're noted as injured. And in the case of Bryce Young and Skylar Thompson, I guess they're benched. Here's who's ahead of Levis, according to The Athletic. Jacoby Brissett, who, by the way, has been benched. Jacoby Brissett, Deshaun Watson, Anthony Richardson, Gardner Minshew, who they're talking about benching, Andy Dalton, Daniel Jones, Bo Nix, Justin Fields, who they're also thinking about benching. That ain't very good, guys. That's not very good. Now, again, people outside of Titanland think that, again, a coach told Diana Russini it's only a matter of time until Mason Rudolph is the quarterback. To which I would say, why? Like, why jump the gun? Why? Why do we need Mason Rudolph to be the quarterback? Derek texted me, and he said, the reason to make the switch would be because he, talking about Brian Callahan, can't lose the locker room.
A mutiny.
Here's my question. Do you think they care about that? Like, do you think the Titans are sitting around the table when they're having these discussions with Amy and Brinker and Carthon and everybody else, and they're like, if we keep playing this guy and he keeps turning it over, eventually the coach is going to lose the locker room? And part of me thinks these guys aren't smart enough to realize that that could happen. I'm serious. I don't think the Titans think like that. Because I've seen some of the decisions that they've made, and it's so devoid from reality that I think they're just off in la-la land talking about, well, if we lose, then we get the second pick. And think about what we can do with the second pick. Think about the analytics and what we can do with that. And again, Brian Callahan's never been a head coach before. And I do wonder if he knows, like, you know, hey, man, if you lose the team, like, you got to go. I don't care if it's year one, year eight, year nine, whatever. I don't know if they think like that. I think there's a part of them, and some of this might be because you guys buy so much of their crap when they spew it that they think they can go in the locker room and say, Will's our guy, and they can say, yeah. Not, he's costing us the game. And then I wonder how much these players care about it. You know, Joe was talking about, well, Tony Pollard and Calvin Ridley and those guys, they knew what they signed up for. And there may be some of that, which is, hey, we told you guys when we signed you, we're going to try out this young quarterback. We didn't know he sucked this bad, but it is what it is. But that's a question for Derek. He would know better than I would because, again, he played and I didn't. But sometimes I don't think the Titans think those kind of things through. Kind of like right tackle, which I know they didn't think through. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com at 615-737-1025. One texter says, sometimes we give coaches too much credit. They're trying to sell you and the fans on the team as well. A bad business owner still tries to convince you that they have the best business around. It's not smart to believe everything the coaches and administration say. And again, I don't believe everything they say. But I do believe Brian Callahan when he says Will Levis is their guy. Like, he's going to say that until he's not. and he hasn't wavered at all. Maybe, I mean, again, I think that Titanland is probably wrong. And I think that, as that AFC South coach told Diana, as Blake Bedingfield wrote at PaulKarski.com, I think there's probably a pretty good chance that if things don't change, and I don't have any evidence that would make me think they're going to, then eventually they're going to make a change. And when they make the change, I'll be like, what happened to give Levis time? You guys all bitched about we got to give him time, and they're not giving him time. But I totally think that Brian Callahan is prepared. I don't know when it is. Could be next week. Could be 5 weeks from now. But I totally think Brian Callahan at some point is prepared to switch quarterbacks out. I just don't totally see the benefit of it, other than maybe, again, keeping the team. One texter says, we don't get any better by picking 17th in the draft. Bingo. And I'm not a tanker. Like, I'm not a guy who is necessarily pro-tanking. I'm not. But because the Titans have been in really the basement but not the bottom of it the last couple of years, and it's kept them away from the C.J. Strouds and the Jaden Daniels, and I'll say it, the Anthony Richardsons. I mean, I've been doing a lot of research on the Colts, and we'll talk about the Colts a lot this week. I don't think Anthony Richardson is the problem with Anthony Richardson. I think the Colts, I think they're the problem. I mean, I told you guys, I'd take that guy number one, and I'd go back to that day and do it again. And now, look, C.J. Stroud is a special player. And so, you know, if I was on the clock at number one, I probably would take C.J. Stroud. But if I was on the clock at four in Indy's position, I'd do the exact same thing. The problem is once they drafted him, they've done the exact opposite of everything that I would have done. And, I mean, I talked about it at length about the plan that I thought the Titans should have, and it involved Anthony Richardson not playing year one. It involved Anthony Richardson handing the ball to Derrick Henry about 25 times a game, or in the Colts' case, Jonathan Taylor. So, again, they've done the opposite of what I would do, but that's their business, not mine. I would have signed them a tight end. They keep rolling with Mo Alie-Cox. But again, that's their business, not mine. But by, again, winning and picking ninth, you are away from the Jaden Daniels pick, the elite talent picks. And at some point, like, they need the elite talent pick at quarterback. Because you can't sign Joe Burrow. You can't trade for Patrick Mahomes. You have to draft those guys. And so I'm okay with taking it slow with a young quarterback, but what I'm not okay with is, you know, running a guy out there who in year two keeps telling you he's not going to change. That is an issue. 615-737-1025. More of your phones. We got a lot of them on this. Plus, I did hear something yesterday that takes me back to a topic that I have enjoyed over the last couple of days that I think I'd be willing to take a late-round shot on. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 1025, 106 for the game.
It says you're 6 feet. Let's with your hair, I'm going to give you 6 feet. I don't know. Give me official height and weight here, Diego.
Official height, pro day, I'll be measured at 5'10", 1/8". and my weight, I'll probably be like 204, between 204 and 207.
All right. Can be like Russell Wilson.
Yeah. Super Bowl champion.
Yeah.
That was Diego Pavia on the Dan Patrick Show. So yesterday we did a topic that I was so excited about, thought it was a good topic, about, again, the question is, if the cartel has your family and you've got to win an NFL game and the only two choices of quarterback are Will Levis or Diego Pavia, who are you taking? And by my count, my straw poll, Jared is Diego Pavia. Robbie Stanley is Diego Pavia. Caroline Fenton is Diego Pavia. Trevor Maddich is Diego Pavia. Chad Withrow is Diego Pavia. And Ian Safar is Will Levis. Ian, how's it feel?
I feel okay.
So Diego Pavia says on his pro day he's going to measure at 5'10". What does that tell us? Even though he's listed at 6 foot, he's going to measure at 5'10". which again, Kyler Murray's 5'10", Russell Wilson's 5'10". It's not unheard of. I'll just put it to you like this. I don't think it's very likely that the Titans are going to be anything similar to what they are right now on the third day of the draft at quarterback. Because I don't think Levis is going to make it through the year. And then I think they'll either draft a young guy, or they'll sign a bridge guy, or they'll do both. But if we get to day three of the draft, and we're still looking at Will Levis and Mason Rudolph at quarterback, I will be screaming for Diego Pavia. Because Diego Pavia has got dog in him. Levis doesn't. When the going gets tough, Diego Pavia turns into a superstar. And before you tell me, well, they lost to Georgia State, go look at the second half of that game where Pavia lit it up. Pavia doesn't play defense, guys. Just like when Cincinnati lost to Washington on Monday Night Football, and people were like, and Shannon Sharp was on TV saying, Joe Burrow needs to do more. They didn't punt. What more does he need to do? Throw it to himself? So Pavia's a bad boy, and everybody knows it. So what's really the difference here? Levis is tall, like he's 6'3 or 6'4 or whatever it is. Pavia's 5'10. I'll give you that. But then, like, what else does Pavia not have? Arm strength. How important is arm strength in the NFL? The answer is not very. Have you noticed that? Again, some dudes got rocket launchers, like Josh Allen. But most guys in the NFL, Justin Herbert. But most guys in the NFL have probably average arms. Tom Brady had an average arm. Pretty good quarterback. Lamar Jackson's got an average arm. You can work around an average arm. Pavia can make throws. I know that. Again, that fourth and one bomb down the field into the end zone for a touchdown. Yeah, if you can throw that in college, you can throw that in the pros. So if he's 5'10", that means that he's not too short to not be able to play in the NFL. And again, I'm talking about a day three pick. But if the Titans are the same as what they were at quarterback, you know, today, on the third day of the draft, I'll be yelling and screaming for Pavia. How big is Brock Purdy, by the way? Brock Purdy doesn't have a superstar arm. So Ian's on the island by himself of the people I've asked about Pavia versus Levis. I guess Joe's at the beach, so he won't be on for Jared versus Joe tomorrow, so we're going to have to find a Joe replacement. But what do we think about, as far as that Jared versus Joe scenario is concerned, what do we think about what Joe's going to say between Levis and Pavia? I think there's no doubt he's going to say Levis. Joe would say Levis. Here's my guess. Joe Rexroad says Levis. Chase says Levis. Big Joe and Derek say Pavia. Adam, I don't know. And I did text Willie about it yesterday, and I think Willie was kind of on the fence, not being able to make that pick. Oh, also, Lester texted in at the top of the hour when I asked Trevor who he would take, and Trevor said he would take Diego Pavia. And Lester says, tuning my radio channel because of a childish question that Jared thinks is so good. Vandy quarterback compared to an NFL team. That's dumb. Okay, well, 6 weeks ago, Jaden Daniels hadn't played an NFL game. So far through 6 weeks, apparently Jaden, or through 5 weeks, Jaden Daniels doing pretty well. So let's just keep that in mind. 615-737-1025 on our program. 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in. One texter into the text line says, Jared, I don't know if losing the locker room is the same as team morale plummeting, but I do feel like a losing streak that is not even remotely being addressed would be doing more damage to team morale and lead to situations like players wanting out of Tennessee or tying up contract negotiations. You know, another player said that players don't care about winning as much as they used to. And I think that's kind of true. Like, I hate to say it, but I'm not sure Brian Callahan would lose the team if Will Levis stays the quarterback and Will Levis keeps losing, because quite frankly, I think the Titans are kind of a group of people that don't really care about winning. And I'm not talking about the owner. I think she goes crazy when they don't win. But I'm talking about just the collection of players. Like, when's winning ever mattered to a lot of these guys? When's winning ever mattered to L'Jarius Sneed? L'Jarius Sneed's like, I want my money. I'll go to any team. Give me my money. And I don't have a problem with that. Because L'Jarius Sneed will meet his end of the bargain. If you pay him, he'll play, and he'll play very well. But what that means is that when you lose a bunch of games because your quarterback stinks, L'Jarius Sneed's not going to be upset about it. And that's fine. That's the society we live in now. We live in a what's in it for me and make me society. Well, you know, you probably should do this. Should I? Make me. Is it against the rules? No. Then it's okay. Well, it's kind of a gray area, and okay. Whatever. That's kind of the society we live in. And again, I mean, look at college football. We have players right now that 4 games into the season, because I think you can play 4 games and then you can redshirt. We got guys that 4 games into the year are like, see you guys, I'm out. Gonna redshirt out of here. And I'll take the rest of the year for a redshirt, hit the transfer portal, and I'll be playing somewhere else next year. Because again, winning and team and success, it just doesn't matter to people as much anymore. So I understand Derek talking about losing the team, and maybe he's right. He'd know better than I would. But I think there's a part of it where it's like, you know what? At the same time, I'm not sure these players do care about that. I mean, the Titans signed a guy to play guard who quit the team 3 weeks into the season. PT doesn't care about that. He's doing fantasy football. He can barely even keep his job. And he's doing his fantasy football job on the side. I mean, winning doesn't matter to people as much anymore. I'm convinced of that. Maybe I'm wrong. Because, I don't play. But it does kind of feel that way. Trent says, what happens if you put Mason Rudolph in and he gets hurt behind the terrible offensive line and then you have to put Levis right back in? Well, you have to put Levis right back in. But let me say this. If Malik Willis wins any more games for the Green Bay Packers, and I'm not sure Malik Willis will win any more games for the Green Bay Packers, but if Malik Willis wins any more games for the Green Bay Packers and you have quarterback issues, there's going to be a problem. Like, it's kind of don't ask, don't tell. Well, Malik played well. We wished him the best, and it's good. But I also think there's a little bit of a, we gave up on him, and he came in here and beat us and looked 1,000 times better than he's ever looked for us. And it's like nobody's talking about it because it's uncomfortable. But it is kind of a, guys, might be a problem. Vincent is up next here on our program. Thank you for waiting. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Vincent.
Yeah, Jared, you know, we at work today, we played a little game. It was fun. It was called The Office. Y'all know we've all watched The Office, but imagine The Office and what person at the Titans organization, Carthon or Brinker, who would they be on the show? But anyway, the reason why I'm calling is the
locker room. What would you come up with?
We come up with a lot of scenarios that were good. I won't waste your time with that.
Who's Michael Scott?
It's got to be Carthon.
Okay, and then what's Brinker? Dwight?
Brinker's got to be Dwight, yes.
Okay, but Michael was the boss of Dwight, and Brinker is the boss of Carthon.
Bingo! Now, just work that through your brain. But anyway, you add your own name to characters on the show. It was a lot of fun. But anyway, what I called for was is the losing of the locker room. I'd never understood that in the professional level. And I love Derek. I listen to his show. He's great. But I've never understood the losing of the locker room on the professional level. You're either a bad football team or a good football team. You can have the locker room and win 2 games. At the end of the day, what's the difference? I've never understood the losing of the locker room. So I reject that, the locker room on the professional level. They're professionals. They're getting paid to do this.
You ever had a boss that you didn't believe in and you didn't think was putting you in the best scenario? And if you thought you had a better boss, things would go better? I mean, I'm sure we've all been there. Although I hate to say this, Vincent, it doesn't sound like you do a lot of work. If you guys are sitting there talking about who's who at the office and then also talking about you listen to Derek during the middle of the day.
If I did a lot of work, could I not listen to the radio if I was working?
I guess you could.
You've got my full attention all day, so, hey, good job. Thank you.
What do you do for a living, Vincent? Oh, I was kind of wondering, you know, it sounds kind of like Vincent doesn't do a whole lot. I mean, like, losing the locker room's real. I mean, we've all had bosses that were like, good God. We've all had that. Doesn't mean that you don't do your job. It just means that it's probably not as much buy-in when you think your boss is not getting it. But I do kind of think right now, you know, it's more about the money than it is about the losing the team. Like, I think that the Titans kind of have a losing culture. And when you let guys like Derrick Henry, who are winners, leave, and you go out and, you know, I mean, Snead won, but, you know, when you've got Jeffrey Simmons as your top leader and he's the guy who's like, I'm doing my job, it's kind of like, okay, these guys really don't have the winning mindset. And when that is the case, I don't think these guys really worry about what the coach is doing or isn't doing. I mean, these are all the guys that were like, Vrabel's the best. They fired Vrabel. This guy's better than Vrabel. Okay. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. By the way, Bruce says on the text line, he says, you do the bare minimum. Texting me, or I guess he's talking about me doing the bare minimum. I sat through a 16-minute Kalen DeBoer press conference from last week just to hear whether or not on the Monday after the Georgia game, before the Vandy game, if Kalen DeBoer mentioned Vanderbilt once because somebody texted in saying he didn't. And by the way, he did not, which Nick Saban would have never, ever, ever done. But no, I don't tell me that I do the bare minimum. Come on now. 615-737-1025, Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063 again.
Let's start with Brad, who is up or down in Florida. Hey, Brad, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Hey, Daddy. Hey, what happened, Daddy? Because it, from my side, from my perspective, it looked like them intellectuals up there in Nashville that were smaller whooped y'all's ass on national TV. Is that, and Daddy, I'm just trying to understand, Daddy, because it, you know, it looked bad, didn't it?
Well, I guess what you're referring to is all the Alabama fans calling in last week and saying that they were now Georgia's daddy.
That was the Paul Feinbaum show yesterday. And boy, there were more calls like it the whole day. And I got to say this. Yesterday was a fun show. Not that today wasn't a fun show. They're all fun. But it almost felt like, you know the feeling when you're on vacation and then it's the Sunday before you have to go back and then you wake up on a Monday morning. You've been off for a week, week and a half. And it's almost like, back to work. And look, I love my job. But it was like yesterday's show was about Vandy and the upset they pulled over Alabama and how exciting that was and, you know, the big win and everything else. And then it was like today was back to the Titans. And it was like, back to the Titans. Back to this Titan, to the Titans and this season that I am searching for meaning in. Not sure I can get excited about losing every game, especially when there's not a high-end, legit quarterback that's there on the market. But also not sure if I can get excited about the idea of Will Levis playing quarterback for the rest of the season, or the idea of switching to Mason Rudolph so they can win six games, or if they win on Sunday against the Colts, which they might, they're 1-point dog, but they could absolutely win that. And then all of a sudden it's like, they're back in the playoff race. Let's talk playoffs. What needs to happen? I'm not saying I'm losing the joy, but I am a little worried that this Titans season is going to be a trudge. I was told that as of today, it's going to be cold. 70s this week, I think 60s next week, something like that. It's going to be cold. It feels like that dark winter is coming. And it's the Titan season. It's just, it feels like a trudge. I hope it's not. I hope it ends up being more fun. But man, after the excitement of what happened with Vanderbilt over the weekend and the college football, getting back to reality today, it definitely felt like I was back from vacation. It was like, back to work. That's it for us. We're out of here. We've got ALCS. Is it ALCS or NLCS?
NL, I'm sorry.
NLCS baseball at 7:30 tonight. Stillman and Company. We'll see you all tomorrow, too.